news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 on Mobile Mornings. We're going to get to a number of things. The Biloxi homeless shuttle bus or shuttle.
Shuttle. Just shuttle, yeah. Fofo has responded.
Yeah, he has responded to that, so we'll get to that. We've got to Jim Jordan not getting enough votes yesterday, and Republicans saying we'll try it again. We didn't want to. They're like, we're not going to vote again today. We'll wait till tomorrow, that being today, and 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 o'clock our time. They'll close the doors and try to do it all over again.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes and whether it goes 15 rounds like it did with McCarthy back in January. So we've got the, of course, like you mentioned, the Biloxi Mobile controversy. How about this other one that was kind of answered last night? There was a different controversy, and that involved a school in Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
So exactly, okay. First of all, It was the stars aligned, right? Because you and I have been talking about we want to go to a game together. We haven't done that. We want to go to Hancock Whitney, and I told you, hang out at the beer garden.
Yeah, and we did that.
Glorious idea, correct?
it was a great idea.
The weather was so great. The pregame from Unity Fiber, they actually gave us the tickets and field access, too, before the game.
Yeah.
So it soup to nuts, had it all. The weather was great. And then South Alabama comes out, and their first drive, when you come down to meet me there, I'm like, this game is kind of over.
I'm not sure they punted last night. I don't think they did.
The holes were so gaping. It was like, wow, there's very little resistance. And Southern Miss is a proud football program. Mm-hmm. It is not a proud team in 2023. So if you're a Southern Miss fan, look, for years you've done things that South Alabama never dreamed of doing. Went in and beat people and had a quarterback named by the name of Brett Favre and all kinds of stuff. It just, right now, that team doesn't look very good at all. It's just a matter of talent.
Yeah, and they do take a lot of players from around here. We've seen them continue their careers over at Southern Miss, and I think they have a pretty good player from Bay Minette that's over there right now, and probably several more. But you know how when Mardi Gras comes along and the rivalry between New Orleans and Mobile heats up,
yep,
and you start seeing billboards pop up? Didn't Mobile put some billboards up in New Orleans saying the real home of Mardi Gras or the original home of Mardi Gras?
I think so.
I think that happened a while back. Well, Southern Miss tried to do something similar to that, a little bit of a billboard war. I don't know if you saw any of these in the past, but some Southern Miss billboards began popping up around here. And one of them, it said, "Welcome to Port City," but Port was scratched out and they wrote Hub City, which, I don't know, is that what they call Hattiesburg? I was unaware of the nickname for Hattiesburg. And then another one that had the University of Southern Mississippi. Again, this is a billboard in Mobile. "University of Southern Mississippi, a major university experience at a cost comparable to your local university." So shots fired from Southern Miss, and then they have this so far terrible football season, and last night get absolutely smoked by Kane Womack and the South Alabama Jags. So in the post-game press conference, of course, the head coach, Womack, he talked about the game and how well they played, even said they got their third stringers in there at the end of the game against Southern Miss, which, you know, teams rarely get to do that. But it's what he said last that has people talking this morning. He was asked about those billboards, or he may have just begun talking about it. And I think he went to Southern Miss when he was younger.
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like he is a proud graduate of Southern Miss, probably played football there, because his dad was a coach, too. His dad was a defensive coach, I think, at one time at South Alabama.
So Womack said, "I have a lot of respect for Southern Miss head coach Will Hall, a lot of respect for people that built that program at Southern Miss." He named some names. "There's some special people there that have always kind of gone about things with a humble confidence in that program." He said, "Whoever the administrator is that made a decision to put billboards that were disrespectful for the city of Mobile and disrespectful to the University of South Alabama just needs to know that sometimes those things are great in a board meeting, but it'll get your ass kicked on the playground."
Wow.
What a line.
I agree.
"Sometimes those things are great in a board meeting, but it'll get your ass kicked on the playground." And he said, "So let's make sure that we do things the right way. And at my alma mater," or he said, "and my alma mater, I think, should hold themselves to a different standard than that." So Womack, he answered him first off by beating him 55-3.
Yeah.
And then he really answered in the press presser saying that was a terrible idea, and you see what happened because of it.
Yeah, and probably not completely because of it. You know, you can point to that and say our team was motivated by this to some degree for sure, but there was a pretty large discrepancy in talented football players last night, obviously.
Yeah.
Also, I think it's interesting that Womack obviously still has got a lot of pride in his school. And I think the statement kind of showed a disappointment in Southern Miss in that tactic. Like you said, great in the boardroom, seems like a great idea. And in real life,
it'll get your butt kicked.
Yeah, on the playground or whatever, or the playing field in this case last night. But Womack's a heck of a coach, and he's probably, he's got the bloodlines. He's got the...
defensive knowledge, for sure.
Defensive knowledge, and just his people skills are through the roof. He's really good.
But this is what builds rivalries, right? And even though there's been like a regional kind of rivalry, I don't even know if it rises to that level, between Southern Miss and South Alabama, just because of the closeness.
Sure.
With Southern Miss coming to the Sun Belt Conference, that adds another dimension.
And you're right.
I'm not sure it'll ever be as heated as South Alabama and Troy could be. But this is the kind of thing that builds that up, right? And I like it. I like that Southern Miss put those billboards here, and I like that Kane Womack answered it last night. And none of these rivalries will ever be as big as Alabama-Tennessee coming up this weekend, which we're still taking your suggestions on the text line for what the bet between Sean and myself should be for the Alabama-Tennessee game this week. I think one of us is going to have to put a bumper sticker on the back of our truck with the other team's logo. But that's not final yet. We're going to see whoever wins the game this weekend what the bet should be. But I love that last night. And then you have this other thing that's going on between two cities.
Biloxi.
Sports not involved.
Right.
But the city of Biloxi and Mobile. And the big news from last week, I think it was last week, it may have been the week prior, when James Barber, the chief of staff, basically came out, well, he did come out with a cease and desist for the city of Biloxi and said, hey, quit having your law enforcement officers pick up the homeless people in Biloxi, threaten them with arrests, and then bring them to Mobile and drop them off.
So kind of giving them the choice. Do you want to go to jail or do you want to go to the MOB?
That's what Barber and the city of Mobile are alleging here.
Yep.
Yeah. And, well, from the cease and desist letter, quote, if you fail to refrain from such a pattern in practice, the city of Mobile will be forced to seek alternative actions, including the notification of the Department of Justice and the FBI.
Wow.
He said interviews with multiple homeless individuals have revealed a consistent pattern surrounding their arrival to Mobile. The homeless were told by a Biloxi officer they would have to be taken to Mobile or go to jail. So that news came out a couple weeks ago, and finally yesterday a response from Biloxi. The mayor and the police chief both spoke, and Fox 10's Ariel Mallory got some great audio from all of this.
Yes, yes. It's pretty interesting, and listen to the words closely, I would say.
So she spoke with Biloxi Mayor Andrew Fofo Gillich, who says it's all a big misunderstanding and that any transporting of homeless people was voluntary. So they're admitting that it happened, but the chief of staff, I mean the police chief, a little later, he says something a little different. Here's Fofo Gillich talking with Fox 10's Ariel Mallory.
I'm not trying to dispute anything. I know what we're doing, and I'm not backing off that position. And we'll help on every occasion.
So they'll help? He's not, what did he say? He's not disputing? Is that what he?
I'm not trying to dispute anything. I know what we're doing, and I'm not backing off that position.
What does that even mean? So no. He's not disputing what the city of Mobile is saying?
Yeah.
Or I don't know.
He's not backing up. He's not disputing, but he's not saying exactly. He's not really stating what the heck is really going on.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Perfect politician rhetoric, I guess, if you want to call it that. He also said, guess what, Fofo, he ain't backing down. Here's Fofo.
We're not backing off on anything. We have not had a lot of interaction with anybody officially from Mobile other than the letter that I read in the newspaper. And we're not in something that we're going to back off because we're not doing anything wrong.
We're not doing anything wrong.
Well, what are you doing?
But we're doing it, but we're not doing anything wrong.
What exactly are you doing? Was it the police chief that mentioned the busload?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which hasn't even been,
alleged.
That's not even been an allegation. But it sounds like what Fofo and Police Chief Miller there in Biloxi are saying is that there was some sort of agreement between the city of Biloxi, and a couple of
homeless shelters.
Homeless shelters.
The Salvation Army and the
Waterfront Rescue.
Right.
And that seems to be what they're saying. Like, hey, we have a deal with them.
Yeah.
Like, they're saying they don't have any way to help the homeless in Biloxi, so they're taking them to where they could get help here in Mobile. And, well, we've seen what's happened. They end up on the streets in Mobile. Here's the Biloxi Police Chief, John Miller, at a city council meeting yesterday.
The mayor released a very eloquent, to the point, very accurate letter about the Mobile issue. There's never been a busload of people taken to Mobile and dumped out. That's never happened. We do have an agreement with a couple of shelters there that offer some services that we couldn't always.
So, yeah, that audio cut off there, but good stuff from Ariel Mallory at Fox 10. Yeah, he says busload. I haven't seen that mentioned anywhere.
No, they had a video of a patrol car, Biloxi police car, coming back across the state line. And I think that's the only thing that's been alleged, is the one where somehow they were bringing them, maybe one by one or whatever. But there was never any talk or allegations of a busloads of homeless coming from Mississippi. So to make that statement, you're not clearing yourself of anything. That's not, you know, that's not what's being alleged.
No, it's like he's getting the illegal immigrant story confused with the like Texas is shipping them up to New York.
Massachusetts, right.
And also, you know, I haven't researched it. I'll look into it maybe here during the break. I find it very hard to believe that a city like Biloxi with the casinos, mm-hmm. And anytime you have a city, and there's more and more that are getting gambling, you know, there's usually something that goes alongside, and that is first off, assistance with gambling addictions. You have to do that, but you would think that a city like Biloxi would have things to help out the homeless with all the casinos. I don't know. You think there may have been a person or two who have lost everything gambling in Biloxi casinos? I'd be surprised if they don't have a Salvation Army or Waterfront Rescue or something there.
I'll tell you, though, 5 years ago or so, I spent a weekend in Las Vegas, and that was a long time ago, too, 5 or 6 years. The homeless situation was incredible, and that was right there on the Strip.
Hmm.
So you know that they're... what they want for things to be, you know, they would like for those people to not be there and interfere with their commerce, mm-hmm. and interfere with the good times of people that have come in from Memphis and Tulsa and Eugene, Oregon, right? So they'd rather the streets be pristine, and yet in a city like Las Vegas where it's just money everywhere, they have a big problem with it there as well.
Hmm.
So, and that was 5 years. So you can, but I agree with you. It's like, can't you, with all this, you can't hide the money that is being made in Biloxi. Those hotels and those facilities scream it out, right?
Yeah.
And you would think that, and as far as humanitarian too, you know, you'd
think that they would have to have some of these resources available.
You would think that they would just, from the business model,
right?
Let alone the humanitarian.
So I don't think they really answered anything in this discussion yesterday. And who knows if they've actually cut it out. If they haven't, then, I mean, Chief of Staff Barber said that next move is to get the DOJ and the FBI involved. So we'll see.
And so last question is, what have the statements been from the Salvation Army and the Waterfront Rescue Mission? Do they say that they've got this agreement with them as well?
So Fox 10 and Ariel Mallory, they did ask Mobile City officials yesterday after FOFO and Biloxi Chief Miller said that there was an agreement. And the City Mobile says there is no such agreement involving the two main agencies in Mobile, the Salvation Army and the Waterfront Rescue Mission. So still on different pages here with a issue that I don't think is settled.
And those people are easily accessible, too. I've worked with the Salvation Army and with the Waterfront Rescue Mission in years past on a number of events and things like that. And they're just kind of like, call and they'll tell, you know, they're not running from the press.
No.
I know for sure. 821, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. The Ascension Technologies text line can often be a garden of information. We'll look it over here in just a moment, see what y'all are thinking about. 821 with Dan and Dalton on Mobile Mornings. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. 158 now wide open to Mississippi from up in Saraland. We'll get around to that too, talk a little bit about that. Meanwhile, what's going on?
Let's head to the, we'll get to the text here in a second at 251-343-0106, but I believe we have somebody on the phone line right now, and
I think it's Bill.
Bill, good morning, Bill.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, you were talking about perhaps, you know, the casinos knowing that people lose everything when they get there, and I live in Mobile, but I used to work in Ocean Springs, and my job was I did a lot of sampling, and I did it from Ocean Springs all the way to Waveland along the beach, and I could tell you they've got a homeless problem over there, and the casinos might have something to do with it, but there was a guy who was a pilot, mm-hmm. and he went into one of the casinos and lost it all,
wow.
and fell asleep on one of the like things outside, you know, where you can bench, and yep. fell asleep. Woke up when the sun got up and realized that he was late and didn't know where he was, and somebody had parked a van and left the keys in it while they went and did their sampling in the water, as they normally would, because they got to walk out into the water, and so they just left the keys in the van. The guy jumped in the van, took off, and then ran over a lady.
Gosh.
Wow.
Killed her.
Wow.
Yeah, that was I want to say, 8 years ago.
Hmm.
And so when I tell you that, you know, they have a significant homeless problem over there in Mississippi, because, and as we know, it's one of the corridors of, like, trying to, you know, move east from, you know, from mm-hmm. being west.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow, that's quite a story.
What a story. And, you know, just a quick search of, and we appreciate that, Bill. Really
Thank you, Bill.
Appreciate the call. Just a quick search of homeless shelter Biloxi. You got Back Bay Mission in Biloxi, Gulf Coast Rescue Mission, Loaves and Fishes. So I'm not sure what all of these different organizations do, but it does appear that there is at least a little assistance there. We got plenty of text on this as well, too. And, Michael in Mobile, we got a couple Michaels texting in this morning, said the homeless are saying they did not want to come to Mobile, so moving them without their permission across state line, is that not considered human trafficking?
Wow.
good question there.
I think it is if it's not in a cop car.
Yeah, it might be a different story.
It was in my car, your car, maybe so.
And another Michael here who's waging a war against the school bus drivers around here. He says they're driving way too dangerously in and out of traffic. He said, Biloxi's been using the party buses from the casinos to entice the homeless. Sad part is they're using the extremely unsafe bus drivers from Mobile County schools to fly in and fly out of town. So, Michael, keeping that rolling. Now, Terry says something that I've heard plenty over the years. And I always thought that I heard it was between Pensacola and Mobile, but it would make sense. He said the Blue Light homeless shuttle has been along the Gulf Coast for decades, and Mobile has been in the middle of it. And so, and also an update on 158. Terry says I-65 northbound, closer to one lane just north of exit 13, traffic backing up. So I don't know if that's people getting off there at 158 or not. But
it's like they're all excited to get on a new ride. Like,
yeah.
Like it's a new fresh roller coaster. But I want to go up there and drive 158. I see where when it crosses into Mississippi Delta, it ends up at 98. So then you would come back 98 Moffitt Road.
And we'll have to get into this after the break. But James says, so can I assume you all are not going to comment on the Mobile police officer punching a handcuffed man on his knees in the face in our city? And yeah, we will comment on it. Why don't we talk about that when we get back? Because that's another thing that the chief of staff of Mobile, James Barber, had to say yesterday. We'll comment on that.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for the reminder. We have a lot of stuff we've got here scattered about in the studio. We try to be organized, but that's always sometimes just a hope and rather than a fact. It is 8:30 on Mobile Mornings.
On FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to talk with Louie Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we are doing great. Great weather last night for that South Alabama game, and plenty more of that good weather on the way. And you got plenty of fantastic vehicles. You can roll the windows down and enjoy that good weather with a new vehicle.
That's right. And you can turn the seat warmers on, too, if you're getting a little cold. So we got plenty of those over here. Yeah, what a game last night. I want to congratulate South Alabama on a wonderful game. Had a big crowd. Great for Mobile to support those people out there, and it's a great situation. And but we're gonna be here all day long. Great day. We're gonna sell a few cars today. We got some deals on those GM certifies. We got low interest rate on the Sierra sitting out on the new car side. Come by. We got the Hummer sitting in the showroom floor. If you hadn't ever seen one, come check that out. Like I said, it's going to be a great day. We're going to be here, and come by and see us.
Yeah, and if anyone needs any service work done or some body work, you guys can take care of that too.
That's right, a one-stop shop. We got a great body shop back there and service department. So come by and see us, McConnell Automotive.
Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right, let's get into the story here. Video depicting a police officer hitting a handcuffed suspect does not show the whole story, the mayor's top advisor said Tuesday. It happens a lot, too, where the whole story is not shown in these brief videos, right? Well, if you would have seen this before that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so anyway, they're missing context very often. Yeah.
Almost all the time in these things. Addressing the Mobile City Council meeting, Chief of Staff James Barber, who, of course, has got a law enforcement background, he was the chief of police in Mobile, said the case remains under investigation. That the officer, Paul Caligari, is on administrative leave. He said the city notified the Department of Justice and that at a meeting had been scheduled for later at the FBI field office in Mobile. Citing the investigation, Barber declined to say whether the officer was justified, but he said a preliminary review indicates that Caligari was in intense pain from the suspect, 36-year-old Beezer Earl DuBose Jr. Barber told reporters that officers initially pulled over DuBose because he was in a car with tinted windows, and he said the officers smelled marijuana, prompted the arrest. DuBose is set to be arraigned on Thursday on charges of second-degree assault, resisting arrest, and second-degree possession of marijuana. Quote, the preliminary investigation, after reviewing body camera video, as well as witness testimony, is that during the arrest procedure, while he was being arrested for having marijuana, the subject, while he was grabbing the officer by his testicles, they ended up from the vehicle to go onto the ground where he continued to latch onto the officer's testicles.
Mm.
And that's when you see the officer striking the individual until he let go.
Oof.
Well, that clears that up a little bit.
Yeah.
Barber said there was there also is physical evidence of the assault, and that, check this out, the officer is following up. Yesterday, he went to a urologist.
Oh, wow.
So that's how
serious.
Yeah. Barber said after the meeting that as a matter of general policy, an officer is allowed to strike a suspect under certain circumstances whenever confronted by active aggression, use of what they call hard hands techniques, which is striking, kicking, or anything like that, it is authorized. So even though the suspect was in handcuffs, he was applying all kinds of pressure to the officer. This is the police story, and now you have the officer actually visited a urologist yesterday, so that would give you the indication that he's got some things that he's concerned with.
Yeah, and when I first saw that video, you know, I was knowing that I was probably missing context, I was thinking, well, he's resisting arrest to start with, and that maybe not to punch in the face, but that's enough for a police officer to do what they need to do to get him to stop resisting arrest.
Right.
But then when you rewatch it after hearing what Chief Barber had to say and the arrest report, which went even further, it said the court filing, this was Lanyap first to report on it, court filings for second degree assault alleged DuBose grabbed the officer's testicles and penis and twisted them, causing serious physical pain. And when you rewatch the video, you can see how that might be happening while his hands are cuffed behind his back and the officer's trying to. I don't know if, and I think it was James that was daring us to comment on this story.
I guess.
I don't know, James, if you've ever
had your nuts
had
twisted,
any unwanted attention down there, but reflect just the reflexes alone when that happens is enough to make you strike somebody or at least a wall. You know, I don't know.
You're right. What kind of restraint would it take not to punch somebody that was doing that to you?
I mean, 'cause twisting,
you're just trying to stop the pain.
And I think this DuBose, well, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
And because I think what I read was that he was yelling at that nearby person to record the whole thing.
Yeah.
So he knew that what he was doing was going to get a reaction.
Kind of a setup.
Yeah. And just from the footage, you can't see exactly what he's doing down there with his hands behind his back. But you can see the officer's reaction, and it makes me tend to believe their side of the story there.
Yeah.
Wow. That's... It does not sound fun at all.
No, as a matter of fact, I'm trying to think if I ever heard a story like that, where that's what the suspect was doing to try and back at the police officer.
It has to have happened, but we had those FBI crime statistics from 2022, and one of those stats said there was over 100,000 assaults of police officers
right.
that year alone.
2022,
I think
yes.
Over 30,000 of them resulted in some type of injury.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I know there's bad actors out there. How many of those over 100,000 assaults of police officers did you hear about in the news? How many times did that lead ABC in the 5 o'clock block or any of these other channels? And I'm talking about national news, not,
yeah, sure.
not necessarily local news. But
agree.
They don't get near the attention. Of course, I do know that if you're an officer, you're supposed to show more restraint than a criminal. But show me the person who can show restraint when that's happening to them. Golly.
You can't. Hopefully, Caligari's okay because he went to the doctor yesterday to get things checked out or looked at or worked on. And hopefully he's all right.
This texter said, why did South Alabama's helmet logo look like a bear? Well, that was Southpaw, the mascot. They had Southpaw on the side of their heads last night.
Oh, is that what they had last night?
Yeah. So, and Southpaw is the Jaguar mascot, but could be mistaken for a bear, I guess, on TV from far away. I saw Southpaw chasing the Golden Eagle last night. It was the most competitive play and the most elusiveness I saw from anybody wearing Southern Miss last night was the Golden Eagle.
And it sounds like we're piling on Southern Miss. We don't need to do that. We don't mean to do that because we know that there's a lot of proud fans here and alumni and all that. But we're very happy for South Alabama. Mm-hmm. That's our team, and so we're happy about that. But that's a very proud program. In the past, they have gone in and beaten Brett Favre beating Florida State at an 11 o'clock game years ago. And I was at Sanford Stadium when Brett Favre was the quarterback of Southern Miss, and Georgia beat him by like a missed field goal at the end of the game.
Mm.
They were giant killers and have been for a long time.
Fish River Frank, now it's on with Michael talking about school bus drivers earlier. Fish River Frank says he's a school bus driver and he takes exception to what Michael said.
I think he would, sure.
He said he says that knowing, of course, there are a few that are not that great drivers. Let's see, Leo says, when you talk about the police officer punching the guy in handcuffs, don't forget to mention, yep, we mentioned that. And he said, what would you do? I think we said what we would do as well if that was happening.
We'd punch a guy in the face.
Yeah. T-Bone says that story about the cop and the handcuffed guy is nuts.
All righty.
Yeah, see okay. What you did there, T-Bone?
One-liner.
Dirt Digger says, if they would learn not to resist arrest, like police tell you, these problems would go away. Like the song says, I fought the law and the law won. Yeah, and the law wins most of the time. And, it just doesn't. There's just every single day there's going to be someone else who resists arrest or tries to harm someone while they're being arrested.
You know, resisting arrest or these countless police chases that we have. Lots of times it's young kids, too, 16, 17 years old. And it recently in Mobile ended up in a death.
Law enforcement, they're just in such a difficult position in so many different ways. I've said it before. It's not a job that I could do. I know that. And props to everyone who puts on that uniform. TK with the 158 update says, good morning. Eastbound 158 for Mississippi is mostly two-lane, moving about a mile a minute. Not bad. A mile a minute. That sounds
eastbound from Mississippi. Okay.
A mile a minute sounds pretty... Well, I guess you're about 60 miles an hour, right?
Yeah,
that's not that bad.
Doing the limit. A little bit over.
Paul, commenting on the story there. Jason says, I don't want to pile on the school bus drivers this morning. Maybe we'll have a school bus episode coming up that we can all talk about that. Terry says, being handcuffed doesn't mean a person isn't dangerous or can cause harm. There have been handcuffed people who have killed police officers. Yeah, that happened right here in Mobile. About a decade ago, at least, I had a criminal who was in the back of the cop car
at the depot, right at the
taking him to the jail. I thought,
yeah,
tragedy, absolute tragedy.
I attended that service, it was a terrible, terrible story.
This can't be right. Michael says, according to ESPN, the South Alabama Panthers were dominant. Don't tell me that ESPN called them the South Alabama Panthers. That would be would be too bad.
All this for nothing. You build up a program, win by 52 points, and they call you the wrong nickname.
Oh, that's crazy. And this texter says, don't forget about Jeff Kelly at Southern Miss with some big wins also.
Yeah, I saw one of those big wins over TCU, LaDainian Tomlinson, and Jeff Kelly threw the winning touchdown pass right before the game was over, like 10 seconds to go.
Unnamed texter mentions Favre beat Alabama years ago. Is that true? Did Southern Miss beat Bama while Favre was at school there?
Wouldn't shock me. I mean, when I was at that game in Athens, Georgia, and I didn't know who Brett Favre was, right? And he had just had this terrible accident late in the summer. Like his spleen had to be removed or something. He was really hurt bad.
Pre-Coppertone, right? Before he had
And this was his senior year, I guess. And just from the play on the field, the game ended up like 14-13 or something like that. But they missed a field goal at the end, or they would have won. You're watching the game, and I'm saying, why is the University of Georgia quarterback that guy?
And the Southern Miss quarterback.
It looks incredible. And turned out, little did I know, Brett Favre was, aside from any troubles he's in right now, if you recall, he was a really good football player.
Yeah, I think I remember that. And also in There's Something About Mary. Don't forget that. Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome.
Texter here, the officer that was killed in the Sallyport at Metro, Stephen Green. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for that, reminder there.
So
absolutely
sad.
Awful. James says, if Southern Miss was smart, they would distance themselves from a welfare thief. Yeah, talking about what Favre has been in trouble for here recently. Dan says, let me see here. Dan says, my wife and son are on the cruise ship that left out of Mobile Saturday. He said they're off the coast of Belize, and right now the entire ship is without power. He said, needless to say, I'm deeply disturbed. Hope they get it back on soon. Yeah, I hope so too, Dan. That's having the family out and without power on the cruise ship.
To check that story. That's a local story.
And that wouldn't be a good maiden voyage for Mobile for that to happen there.
Was that the maiden voyage?
From Mobile, not for the Mobile ship itself.
Right. Yeah. No, I know the ship's real old, but that was...
Maybe it's the second, because I think the first one they left October 6th, okay. So I doubt they're still going. Backstrap, 1991, Bama started 0-3, Southern Miss did beat Bama. So there you go.
1991, 0-3, and the third loss was a game that I was at. Was they lost to a middle-of-the-road Georgia team as well, with Gene Stallings. And then by 1992... they were so good, they won it all. So that was, that was Gene Stallings back in the day.
Maybe that's what's next for the Jags.
That'd be nice.
Winning it all.
Maybe next year
they'll be in the final 12 with the 12-team playoff. You know, there's a chance South could be in a playoff in the next few
years. Well, if you are undefeated in the Sun Belt and win the league, I guess
there's a possibility.
You have a shot, right?
Yeah.
Like Tulane last year, they would have been in it.
Coastal Carolina would have been in it a few years ago. Back, 8:48, Jeff Poor from the Jeff Poor Show joins us next. .853 FM Talk 106.5. Going to talk with Jeff Poor here in just a second. Reminder, tomorrow afternoon, beginning at 2, the Southwest Mobile County Chamber Annual Business Expo. It's 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon at Tillman's Corner Community Center on Carroll Plantation Road. You get in free if you bring a business card. If you don't, it's $5, but you can spend the afternoon visiting with local businesses and organizations and make new contacts or find some services that you could be using now. It's the Southwest Mobile County Chamber Annual Business Expo tomorrow, 2 to 5 at the Tillman's Corner Community Center. And Celeste, who will be over there tomorrow, she just came in saying, are you paying attention right now to what's going on in Israel? And it looks like it's getting serious at the U.S. Embassy in Israel. And you got riot police and protesters fighting. So we'll have some more updates on that on this station throughout the morning and as we head into this afternoon as things continue to escalate out in Israel.
Jeff, good morning to you. That's some of the unstabilized activity in Israel that Gary Palmer was talking to you about yesterday.
It is, you watch these things. It's sort of going in a bad direction right now.
But
I'll say this. Biden seems like he's trying to do the right thing. I don't know. Some of his people in his administration maybe not on board, but I do think the president, for once, is at least his heart seems in the right place.
Yeah, I think it was surprising to everyone that he decided he was going to Israel and even more announcing the trip. I'm not sure if that's the standard. I think normally in situations like that, you'd have the most powerful person in the world make maybe a secret expedition over there and then tell everyone about it after the fact with the photos. But he had that trip. But then, you know, a lot of the rest of the trip that he was supposed to be on, they decided to either postpone or just not do because of the escalation. And I wonder if people will say maybe it's escalating because he decided to go over there with this hospital thing.
Oh, but we knew this was going to happen. I guess this, though, I mean, let's not forget why this is escalating in the first place, how it all started. So I always find, you know, trying to piece these things together like that, a little strange way of going about it. But that there's a lot of people in the media who are saying things like that. I don't know. It's just a very, very odd, precarious situation.
So before we get House Speaker, real quickly, Jeff, if you lived up in D.C., you know all about it. How do, and were there Palestinian sympathizers in Congress at that time? They're Democrats, obviously. How do they get along with the in such an emotional issue with the like Jewish members of Congress? How does that work?
It was like Keith Ellison when I was there. I mean, there were a few, but nothing like you have now, I don't think.
Right.
So I don't know if that's a fair comparison, because you really didn't have like you have now, seemingly a pro-Hamas caucus. You didn't have anything remotely like that.
Yeah, they immediately were blaming Israel for that hospital attack yesterday. That
crazy.
Was something else. Today, you're going to have, I believe, Congressman Barry Moore on. Is that true? And yesterday, he voted with the rest of the Republican delegation for Jim Jordan, and round two coming up later this morning.
Yeah, we got Barry Moore coming up in the first hour, and I'm really eager to talk to him and figure out what he's up to these days. But I'll say this about the speaker, that first vote, I know that's a big number, that 16-vote margin, but I think some of those votes were some of the people that were voting not for Jordan had to do that on the first vote. I still think it's a big, big number for Jordan to overcome, but that number is going to whittle down if they get to a second vote.
Like a protest vote so they can go back to their constituents and say, look, I tried.
Yeah, but
and you know how it is. Like, they do this all the time. I think absolutely they have that in mind. They had to just virtue signal whatever the anti-Jim Jordan mood is out there in their district.
And then you have, with Barry Moore, the new district. He's no longer living, or will no longer be living, in District 2. He'll be in District 1. I know some campaign dollar amounts came out here recently. Jerry Carl with about $200,000 more in the coffers than Barry Moore, but no announcement for Moore yet.
Nothing yet, nothing qualification-wise. I'm really eager to hear what's going to happen here, so stay tuned. We'll see, but I'd say this. I think Barry Moore's got a few options here, but if it winds up being the first congressional district, buckle up, guys.
Yeah, and did you see the Southern Poverty Law Center dumping some money in the District 2 race for whoever that candidate ends up being? It's going to be interesting moving forward here in Alabama.
That's it. That's going to be a real, I mean, like, look at people who are talking to run. One guy, watch Anthony Daniels from Huntsville.
Interesting. Roots are down there, right? Roots are down there.
Yeah. Bullitt County.
Okay, man. Thanks, Jeff, for your insight. And we will get you going here and make sure you, Barry Moore, and all your guests get on the radio today, okay?
All right. Thank you for having me on.
Jeff Poor Show on the way. I'm going to go see if I can find a Wednesday night football game to go to tonight.
There's one out there.
I'm sure there is. More Mobile Mornings tomorrow morning at 6:00.